There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Real talk. If you want to be great at anything in life, you cannot carry everybody with you.
Deadass. And as you continue to ascend, it's okay that motherfuckers can't come with you. Don't feel bad about that.
Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
This is a two-part story time.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Takes me back to 2009.
Mm-hmm. Back into time.
Just got cut. Recession happens. Moves back to Brooklyn. I have a plethora of bills. Bills that are not just mine. Bills that are mine, yours, family members, friends. And I get cut from the NFL. And a large contingent of these people who I've been helping since I made it to the NFL are nowhere to be found.
Ghost.
And it's not because they didn't care. They didn't know how to help me in that moment. And for a lot of people, when you don't know how to help someone, you disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today. This is part of the story time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a better situation than I was in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not carrying everybody's bills.
That's great.
And here's the crazy part. You could help somebody 1,000 times. The first time you say no, it's as if you never said yes.
That's a fact. Karaoke.
This karaoke is dedicated to the people who were there when I had nothing and when I was trying to grow. I never could have made it without you.
Hey.
I would have lost it all.
Mm.
Never would have made it. Without you.
Whatever happened to that? I love that. People need to bring that back. That was like, what, a year old now?
Nah, that's at least 3 years old. I think the first person I ever heard do it was, what's the DJ that we rock with?
Was it D-Nice?
No, not D-Nice. Light-skinned dude from Brooklyn. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh,
my boy.
Our homie, Big Reef.
Big Reef. Big I think Reef. He was Shout the first person. I'm pretty sure.
Legit the
Big
first.
Big Reef was the first person.
I think he
Big
made
Reef.
That.
Yeah, he was the first person to make that remix.
He did that. Shout out to Big Reef.
Big
we
Reef.
Haven't seen you in a minute,
Big
bro.
Reef, yes.
Hope you're doing well. Big up, Brooklyn.
Yes, big up. So we're going to take a quick break.
Yes.
Take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll come back and we'll elaborate on story time.
Sounds good.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/deadass.
And we're back.
Yes.
DeVal, I remember vividly when we were in the apartment, like you said, back from the NFL stint, recouping from the wedding, all that, pregnant, had Jackson. just some of the days when I could see in your eyes and see on your face such conflict. And the conflict that I saw was you bearing the brunt of all of these financial responsibilities that you had that were easier to carry, of course, when you were in the NFL, but now we were back to square one with nothing.
Right.
So you were trying to bear that. Then also the sadness that you had in your eyes because you weren't in a position to help the people that you wanted to help so desperately.
Yes.
The anger behind losing all of the money that you lost and all of the resources trying to do the right things along the way.
Yeah.
And then the disappointment when you had no one to lean on to help you out of it. And I think that's what made it easier for me in that moment as your wife now to say, I need to do whatever it is possible to make sure that we can stay afloat.
Yeah.
Because I did not want you to feel like less than because you weren't able to sustain the bills or take care of the family the way you wanted to. And it was one of those things that I felt like didn't necessarily have to be spoken at the time, but I was angry, and not at you. I was angry for you because where were the people that were at the games and wanted tickets and all that?
Right.
When you were now at your worst.
Right.
And in their defense, you may not have divulged that to a lot of people either, just for feeling maybe ashamed of the situation so they may not have seen that or felt that because you kind of kept it cool the entire time. But I kind of felt like, where was the thought? Because you're always so thoughtful about people and anticipating people's needs, that I felt like no one was necessarily considering how you might have felt in that moment, being released, retiring now to start from scratch, just having had, you know, a wedding and a baby and all that stuff on the way. I think nobody foresaw that you might have needed that assistance. And for me, being, you know, mama bear and being wife who wants to protect you, wanted to kind of put this guard up moving forward and was like, listen, shit may be down now, but when things can ascend in the future, I'm gonna be very careful about who's around, and I'm gonna be very mindful of who's coming back and people who surface from the woodworks and stuff like that. All of a sudden, when things are on the up and up again,
and then you're that person is always the person that's called the bitch. When the wife decides that people are not going to take advantage of my husband anymore, that's when people start to feel like, who she thinks she is. That's, you know, and it's typically a family
thing. Ask me who I am.
And here's the truth. Survivor's remorse, because the title of this episode is Survivor's Remorse. I just want to explain what survivor's remorse is, right? I've noticed in a lot of families, right? And survivor's remorse has nothing to do with athletics or entertainment or anything. It's typically the one who is able to ascend from the trajectory that the family was on and do more, right? So, for example, I have college kids who are experiencing survivor's remorse and they haven't even made any money yet.
Right.
And people don't realize it. People think survivor's remorse is all about money. Oh, you got to pay for everything. No. I have kids that I've mentored who were the first in their family, first generation to attend college, first generation to even graduate high school. And the minute that they get there, I watch them feel ashamed that they're no longer in the same situation as the rest of their peers and their family. And it's almost like a sickness, right? So it's like you were able to get a scholarship and go off to college. But now when you're in college, you're rushing back home because you want to be amongst everybody because you feel this sense of guilt. Like, why am I the only one that was able to make it? Right. Even though you haven't made it yet.
Right.
People start to feel survivor's remorse when they've ascended past what their family's trajectory originally was.
Right.
And when if you watched that, everybody around you just maintain that same place and then you do a little bit more, those people typically have that guilt that, like, why am I the only one here?
Yeah, it usually
that's what
happens
survivor's remorse is.
In that celebratory moment, too. It's just like, oh, people will see you going to and from school or whatever. You're like, oh, okay, great. And then they see you with your cap and gown and you're graduating and there's this hoopla around whoever graduated. And then it's kind of like, oh, so this person is actually going to leave this playground, for lack of a better word, this area that we're in, and now ascend to something else.
Well, where does that come from? Where does that come from? That, you know where I think survivor's remorse comes from?
Where?
People make you feel guilty for doing well, right?
Don't forget the little people.
You know, they say, oh, what's up, Hollywood?
Yeah.
Like, that's all of those things are shade. You know what I'm saying? Shade. People people think
compliments
that it's not shade, but it's backhanded compliments. Backhanded compliments, you know?
Exactly.
And I've people say that to people who are just like trying to like you just we the kid went to college, mm-hmm. kid goes to college. Oh, what's up, Hollywood? Or oh, you think you better than us now? I'm trying to better myself. It has right. nothing to do with you.
Right.
But yes, I'm trying to better myself.
And you're making it about you because you might have had the opportunity to do the same. But if you didn't, then whose fault is that?
And that's where survivor's remorse comes from. Mm. It's the guilt that people put on you because a lot of the times these people had may have had the same opportunities or may not have had the same opportunities. Mm-hmm. But they see someone doing more and they most of the time don't know how to be happy for you if they're not happy for themselves. So they kind of throw that shade or that backhanded compliment. Mm-hmm. You know, like that, I want to be like you when I grow up. Yeah. Stuff like that makes people feel
right.
a way. Even though you think it may be a compliment, it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and having survivor's remorse, there were times when I was even in college where I felt like, damn, a lot of my friends didn't get into school.
Yeah.
You know, why me? You know what I'm saying? As soon as I get something, I'm going to share with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you want to do now is you're feeling so guilty, you want everyone to feel how you feel.
Yeah.
So any little bit of thing you get, you share with everybody so we can all be on the same even playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But what survivor's remorse does to the people around you, it makes them feel entitled to what you have.
Yep.
Because you started to share everything you have with them so y'all can all feel on the same playing field.
So that's the bad habits, I guess, that you start now become expected.
Yes.
So it's like as you continue to ascend at every level, then you're still bringing all these people along.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't be mad at people who then, you know, piss away opportunities or tend to just not even mm-hmm. try on their own because why do they have to?
And that's the point of this podcast. This point of this podcast is not to put blame on all the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you to recognize that you created these things around you. That's why I can't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
At the people around me or the mm-hmm. people around us because we created that with mm-hmm. survivor's remorse. Now, the things that, how I got survivor's remorse started young where, you know, I remember it being extremely, extremely young,
mm-hmm.
right? When we used to go to Tennessee in the summer times
mm-hmm.
and some of my friends used to be like, oh, you going down south or you don't want to stay here in Brooklyn. You too good to stay here in Brooklyn. It's like,
meanwhile, you were doing manual labor down in Tennessee. Like, don't nobody want to be here in this hot
right.
sun and, cutting grass?
And the thing is, they would feel like since you left them,
mm-hmm.
whatever you was doing was better than what you were doing here. So you felt like you were better.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes the narrative of right. your life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That for me, that became the narrative of my life. My parents constantly put me in situations to better myself. Not be better than anyone else,
right.
to better myself.
Same.
So
same.
If I wanted to do something, they found, even in Tennessee, they knew I loved art. They found the Rose Center. The Rose Center was a place for artistic people. Like mm-hmm. I used to draw and paint mm-hmm. and be creative. And even then, when I didn't go to the boys club certain days, they would be like, oh, you going to the Rose Center? Oh, you too good to just go to the boys club. So then you know how I started to feel? Well, I don't want to go to the Rose Center anymore. I'm going to stay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I remember it starting that young.
Yeah.
You know, when we used to go to Tennessee, it was the same thing. One year, I begged to not go to Tennessee. And mm-hmm. then my parents kept us in Brooklyn. And we went to the Glenwood Houses Projects mm-hmm. Community Center summer program. And I had a great time there. But I remember choosing to not go with my grandparents
mm-hmm.
because I wanted everyone else around me to feel better about me staying there.
Right.
Think about how sick that is. You work your hardest to be better, right? Mm-hmm. Jay-Z had a great quote. They were just like, people get mad at you and they say that you change. Like, I work this hard to remain the same. You know, like, it's the truth, though.
I love it. You sound just like him.
This Hov. Shout out to my nigga Hov. But when you work this hard to be better for yourself,
right.
No, I don't want to remain in the same place.
You know what I think the conflict is, too, for some people? They feel like you are trying to be better than them. Where it's not you're trying to be better than them. You're just trying to be a better version of yourself.
Yes.
And in being a better version of yourself, if that then in turn allows you to ascend in whatever area you're working on, that has everything to do with you
yes.
and nothing to do with the
yes.
party that's blaming you for trying to be better than them. There was never a competition to begin with.
Right.
And I think that's a problem, too. A lot of people
mm-hmm.
feel like because you may come from the same area, or the same walk of life, or the same community, or mm-hmm. the same neighborhood, the same school, that everybody has to be on the same path.
Right.
And that's just right. not the case. Like, my right. path is going to be different than yours. I experienced that when I was growing up. I used to do pageants. Everyone yeah. knows that I competed in pageants. And it was like, oh, Kadeen thinks she better than everybody else because she does pageants. the pageant was an opportunity, A, because I saw I was able to make some scholarship money. Your girl was trying to make money early as 10. Okay, I was like, oh, I can get scholarship money? They even cash awards? I like this. I'm going to build my bank account. So that was part of it. Another reason was that I always enjoyed being in front of an audience. That's something that I kind of just knew early on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, after reading, you know, the guidelines for the pageant and stuff like that, my mom was like, oh, interview skills, that'll help you in life.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
do interviews and you learn how to speak in front of strangers and do one-on-one interviews with people. That's something that's a life skill you can learn. Mm-hmm. So these are things that I was doing to better my circumstance and better myself, because I knew eventually one day I was going to be in some sort of entertainment. I was mm-hmm. dancing. I loved to be on stage. They had talent competitions. I was mm-hmm. playing the piano and dancing. So my mom was like, this is a platform for people to just see you. You never know what casting director is going to be there, an right. acting coach, whatever. So for me, it was all about the opportunity to advance myself. Whereas some of my classmates at the time was like, oh, she thinks she better because she got a crown and banner and she's on stage and pretty dresses and stuff. And then that kind of made me feel away sometimes.
You want to make yourself small?
Yeah. I kind of was just like, So if I had, you know, an opportunity, because my school was also very proud of me at the time. So they're like, Kadeen, bring your crown and banner. We have some people visiting from wherever. They're trying to give the school some scholarship money. We want them to see that we have kids who are doing things here. And then it's like I had to feel bad about presenting myself like that in yeah. front of my peers, because yeah. they made me think that I was better than them, or yeah. I felt like off. I was a show-off.
You're being off. A show-off, yes. yeah.
And it had nothing to do with that. It was encouragement from the adults around me, but I couldn't fully live in that moment and be who I wanted to be for fear of ridicule.
That's survivor's remorse. You yeah. can't be who you want to be in your greatest moments because you fear ridicule from your peers.
Yeah.
That is survivor's remorse.
Yeah.
And you know what people do to kind of eliminate survivor's remorse? People like me, for example, and other people, I don't stop achieving. But when I do achieve, I try to give everything to everyone around me so that yeah. everyone can feel the same.
Yeah.
And when I realize that I didn't take care of myself, I didn't take care of the things that mattered mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. now I took care of everybody so that we can all be. Perfect example. You're in the NFL. You're 22 years old, right? I'm taking all my boys to the club. Mm-hmm. I know they can't afford bottle service. I'll pay for everybody's bottle service. Mm-hmm. So now you spent a couple grand in a club so that everyone else can feel like they're in the NFL because you're in the NFL.
Right.
But you're the only one that put the work in to get there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then when that runs out, or if you hit a blip in the road,
right.
those same people feel like they don't owe you anything because they didn't even ask
for that.
They
didn't ask for it.
They
exactly.
didn't ask, and you can't blame
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
They didn't ask for this.
Right.
You wanted to make yourself feel better because you felt ridiculed.
Right.
And now when you don't have any more to give, now you mad.
Right. So really, it's not even their fault for accepting it. Mm-mm. You can't be mad at them for accepting it. You're the one that's doing all the offering.
and that's the point. Like, you can't blame the people around you, right? It is a culture, right? It is a culture. And I don't know if it's, because I'm not white, I'm not Asian, I'm not Indian. I don't know if it's a black culture thing. But I don't know if survivor's remorse exists mm-hmm. in every other culture. Mm. Mainly because, especially in America, there's only been one group that was held captive and enslaved for 400 years, and mm-hmm. that was black people. Mm-hmm. You know, I do know for a fact that Asian Americans have gone through a lot mm-hmm. After Reconstruction, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the same as enslavement.
Right.
So I don't know if in the Asian culture it's the same type of ridicule that happens when people try to ascend, but mm-hmm. I do know in the black culture that that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And that culture creates this survivor's remorse where mm-hmm. you're like, if I'm the one that make it,
right.
I got to bring everybody.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with entertainment. I've seen people who barely made it out of college, who finally got like a corporate job. And people think corporate jobs pay instantly once you get entry level, right? Mm-hmm. No. Yep. No. Like when you graduate from college, like Bilal, for example, when he mm-hmm. first started, I think he started at Neuberger Berman. Mm-hmm. I think Bilal at that time, this was 2006, was making $45,000. But in his family's mind,
He made it.
Mm-hmm. So Bilal tried to help everybody, and that was a detriment to him and his future, because when you try to help everybody, you can't help yourself.
Nope.
And this, if there's a message that you can get from this, ladies and gentlemen, is this is the message. Do not let the current culture or the culture that you exist in as you ascend let you make decisions that's not going to help you continue to ascend and get to your goals. That guilt you feel, that survivor's remorse you feel, is created within you mm-hmm. because of the things that happened around you. Mm-hmm. But you can't use the people around you as a scapegoat when you do that and then fail.
Yep.
That's why you have to know it's okay to not take everyone.
Right.
That's why this second time around, we help who we can help only when we can help.
Right.
That's I'm not fact. Spreading myself thin to help everybody.
And now we have four children, too. We're thinking about like the legacy that we're trying to build for our children and making sure that they have their little nest egg for what they want to do whenever they're, you know, grown and they can access that. So it's also, too, sometimes I feel like in addition to the survivor's remorse and trying to shell out to help people, you play things small.
Yeah.
You know, or you just kind of feel like even if it's not having to give somebody something, you feel like you have accomplished something and you can't even share that. And share in that joy with certain people because you feel like they're going to then
you do that
not
all the
be
time.
Able to celebrate.
You do that all the time.
Yes.
Triple talks about it all the time. Kadeen graduated magna cum laude with a master's degree in broadcast journalism. Part of the reason why this podcast is so freaking dope is because you are exquisite at what you do. You have a great voice. You took voice and diction classes. You helped me with my voice. You're perfect with transitions and ads. That's what you do, mm-hmm. right? But even when Triple says, oh, that's right, Kadeen does it, the first thing you do is go, oh, it's not that big deal. Like, you literally put your head down and you lose eye contact and you go, no, it's not that big deal. Because for years, since you've been born, anytime you've been proud of your accomplishments, and I know for a fact that they do this to Black Americans in this control of time, is you better be humble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Being humble is a big part of it.
Think about this. Yeah. When was the last time you watched a white quarterback, a white athlete, male or female, mm-hmm. white champion, white actor, white singer, go up to make an acceptance speech, and then you hear Twitter say, that person needs to be humble. Mm. But then think about it when it's a Black athlete. Think about Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. How when she screamed at the referee for calling her a cheater and taking a point away, mm-hmm. people were saying she needs to learn how to be humble.
Oh, yeah.
But when McEnroe screams at refs every match, nobody says anything.
Uh-huh, because that's expected.
But it's expected for us to be humble.
Always be humble and timid and power
say,
too.
The Bible says to be humble. The Bible says to be humble unto God.
That's
it
all.
Never says to be humble unto man.
Facts.
I don't have to be humble unto anybody else that look just like me.
Right.
You have to be humble unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you humble unto God, then he will continue to bless you because now you have a fiduciary responsibility as someone who's living in abundance to help other people.
Right. Which is something that we don't ever take lightly.
No.
So just because it's a thing where we're careful and we're strategic about when we help and how we help people nowadays, we definitely help.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot.
And we'll continue.
And we'll continue to help. And it's nothing that has to be publicly, you know, spoken about or publicly advertised either. What we do, and it's crazy because that's the oxymoron and it's kind of like the double-edged sword. If you don't talk about helping people, people don't think you help. But if you help and you talk about helping, then you're showing off for helping.
Right.
So that you can just never win. But I think the great part about what we're doing collectively together is that as we both ascend as a couple and as individuals, like you said, God is abundantly blessing us and putting us in the position to help people who really need the help.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to do that and not feel the guilt doing it as if, you know, we're trying to bring someone up to our level, but just saying in your moment, I see you, you may need assistance with this or someone needs assistance with that. And we're able to do it and we're a cheerful giver because God loves that as well.
Absolutely. And the difference is now when we help people, it's more of a thing where it's like, I'm not helping you to make myself feel better because I feel guilty about me ascending.
Right, that's the difference.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Because you also can't blame people for that. Mm-hmm. If you choose to help people because you feel guilty about how you've gotten these means or you feel guilty because people throughout your life have made you feel guilty about overachieving and you choose to help people to help with that guilt, you're helping for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you're going to end up with your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Because that type of help runs out.
Right.
Like you can't always help people like that.
Right.
But when you can help and be a cheerful giver because you can see someone is in a moment of need and the money you give them is not money you need or going to need back.
Right.
Now that's here. Don't say nothing to me about it. Don't say nothing to nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. You know what I'm saying? Right. Regardless of whether you receive it or not, it doesn't matter to me because I'm just doing this because I think you need help.
For sure.
And I think people need to recognize that, especially younger people who are starting their college process, who are thinking about where they're going to go. Because I've watched young kids choose to go to schools closer to home because they don't want the people around them to feel like they're leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're going to limit your opportunities and your prospects because you don't want other people to feel bad about you bettering yourself.
Yeah,
that is like it's insane, and it's a sickness.
Yeah,
and to be honest, it's stopping a lot of greatness within our community.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
like not leaving the hood because you're just worried about leaving the hood. Imagine how much you could do for the hood when you came back, if you were able to grow and flourish.
That's a good point. And the funny thing is, we see it all the time perpetuated in entertainment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The person who has a scholarship, or the person go out and sing, or the person go out and dance, or the person could be a CEO of a company, right? You watch them on TV, and then what's always the conflict with that character? I can't leave everybody behind. I got to find a way to stay here and play basketball professionally. You can't.
That's not possible.
You know what I'm saying? I want to take this big time job in New York as a financial president, but mm-hmm. I can't. I got to stay home. And no, you don't. Right. You don't got to go.
Right.
Go out there and get as much resources as possible. Come back and then spread those resources when you can, mm-hmm. but not because you feel guilty.
Right.
And that's right. that's ultimately what we want people right. to think about. And also...
And the it's the motivation behind.
Yes, the motivation helping. Behind it. But also for people, be careful with your words.
Mm-hmm.
If you see someone is starting to do well or trying to ascend, saying backhanded stuff like, oh, what's good, Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like you when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it must be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, you a lucky person. Stuff like that is backhanded compliments.
Absolutely.
And that you don't know how that weighs on that person
for
if
sure.
they're constantly hearing it. So... You know, I think that this is important that we as a people continue to look at how we interact with those who are trying to ascend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love mm-hmm. that. All right, yo.
So let's take some break, pay some bills, get into these listener letters.
I think we should definitely do that. As my laptop over here died, let me get some juice, y'all. Plug me up, please, so I can come and look, get in y'all business real quick, okay?
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately... You can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so we're back with listener letters.
All right, my laptop's still dead, y'all. So DeVal's going to start off, and hopefully I'll catch up along
we'll
the way.
See. All right, number one. First of all, let me start by saying I genuinely love your podcast and love you both. Big ups from Barbados. Thank you
so Barbados. Much. I can't wait to get there. Let me real quick say, my goal in life is to touch every island in the Caribbean at some point.
My goal in life is to touch you in every island at some point.
I love that. Moment of truth, y'all. Came early. Anywho.
So I just turned 22 and I was listening to your podcast last week, the one about manifestation and, of course, prayer without work equals nothing. So straight to the point, I'm tired of my job. I've been working here for 2 years and here in Barbados, it's hard to find good, solid jobs. So if you find some good place, your best option is to stay. But lately, I've become so frustrated that my workplace and I decided for my birthday, I'm going to make a change. So I prayed and I've been trying to speak positive affirmations to myself and I've been putting myself out there, sending my resume any and everywhere. When I pray, I ask God to help me find the right job, not just any job, because I would hate to leave one stressful environment to go into the next. Mm-hmm. Even in typing, I got to go all around the world before I get to the point. See, I had my first call and interview this week, and honestly, the interview was amazing. I stepped out of there feeling so confident, but now I'm at work, and for some reason, I feel so guilty because this job has been good to me, and I met a lot of amazing people here, and my boss is a really nice guy. I met my best friend for life here at work, even though she quit a couple months ago, and honestly, I just feel like it's going to be so hard to leave, especially if I get the job at the other place. My questions are, how do I embrace new opportunities? How do I resign from this job the right way? And finally, what affirmations can I tell myself to help me overcome the guilt I'm feeling for wanting better for myself? Mm. Wow, because your girl be feeling guilty. Bad, bad. Couldn't help the dialect there.
I love that. You read mad fast too. Sidebar them.
Yes,
the letters. I didn't get half the story.
You ain't get half the story.
Nah, my laptop's you can't still hear. In charge of
you
yet,
can't hear.
But all right, go ahead.
So pretty much, pretty much what she was saying was, she had a job. Mm-hmm. She don't like her job.
Doesn't
anymore.
Like it. Yes.
She wants to do something else, but she feels guilty leaving because everything she's learned from that job.
Right.
Another type of survivor's
remorse. Yes.
Feeling like you've outgrown the place you're in, mm-hmm. but guilty because you want to move on.
Yes.
I mean. The bottom line is that we have been taught, like we have been conditioned to be accepting of any condition. Like,
yes.
That's just what, like, just accept
yes.
it. Like,
this is
good
it.
Enough.
Yep.
You know, and here's one thing
I'm so grateful for this opportunity that right. I have to just withstand that. You know who I saw that with mostly?
Who?
Growing up, my mom.
Yeah.
Like, in this work environment that was just so, so stressful and she was so unhappy and just having to deal with people that just weren't nice and
well, let's talk
just
about,
never wanted to leave, never wanted to walk away.
Let's talk about corporate structure, right? This is how corporate structure works. Your boss owns a company, right? You make your boss, let's say, $1 million. You may make $50,000. Your boss's job is to make you feel so good earning that $50,000 that you never leave because you help him or her make $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what your boss does? Maybe nice to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, give you an extra $500 bonus.
Right, employee appreciation day, you get some
give
donuts,
you a title,
some breakfast, titles.
Give you a title.
Yep.
You go on vacation every year.
Mm-hmm.
These are all ploys in corporate structure to keep you a part of the corporate program.
Yes.
Your job is to continue to make that company money. So, of course, they're going to make you feel good
mm-hmm.
and then also make you feel guilty when you're ready to go. That's why most people, when they're transferring jobs, they just get an offer, mm-hmm. know that the job is secure, mm-hmm. put in their 2 weeks notice, and then bounce. Because if you tell your boss that you're thinking about leaving, they're going to make you feel good by doing everything other than giving you a raise.
Exactly.
Or giving you more responsibility so you can grow in that position.
Right.
Because if they give you more responsibility so you can grow in that position, it's going to cost them more money, which cuts into their bottom line.
Right.
So you have to, once you understand corporate structure and you know how this works, you won't feel guilty because you know it's just business. Baby, it's never personal.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, if they can get cheaper, younger talent, they'll fire your black ass.
That's a fact. Like, you are disposable. Structure. I think I saw somewhere, I don't know if it was a meme or if it was an actual real thing, but it's like someone had passed away on the job or whatever, and that person's job was posted by the end of business day, the same day they found out the person passed away.
Well, I mean,
you are disposable. Yes, but I'm just saying that should also put in perspective for you that you are just a body.
Absolutely.
You are just a number to some of these institutions.
Absolutely.
So when you're thinking about blood, sweat, and tears, you're thinking about your happiness, your sanity. I'm like, sis, look at what you prayed for. You prayed for better opportunities that are coming. Embrace the opportunity.
Yo, listen, it's funny, but bosses can give you survivor's remorse as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of it in that circumstance, but you're right.
All the bosses I know who are really good at empowering people mm-hmm. and that are really good at empowering people are often narcissistic and also very smart at manipulating people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they'll do is they'll empower you within the company to help them make more money,
mm-hmm.
but also remind you, like, remember when you started and you couldn't do anything? Think about how much you learned here.
Mm.
So now it's like, damn, let me make this person feel indebted to this place, because if they learn, if I remind them of how much growth and how much, you know, oh, we took a chance on you because we wasn't sure, but look how much we taught you. It's saying things like that creates a survivor's remorse,
right?
When it's like, I've outgrown this job, but can I leave because I've done so much here? It's like, yes, you can leave.
You can leave.
Your job was to
grow. And you should be able to
here.
Leave. Yes.
And you can't feel guilty because you've outgrown a situation.
Right.
Like, that's just what
it is. And if you've made some friends at work, you can be friends outside of work now.
And she said her best friend quit.
Yeah. The best friend's gone. Yes, your best friend left you, sis. Come on now.
If that wasn't a message, then I don't know what a message is. But
facts.
I think people need to understand that survivor's remorse is a tool often used in corporate structure
mm-hmm.
to keep you an employee.
That's a fact.
And if you want to move on, you're going to have to learn to let that guilt go.
Yep.
And then do what you need to do for yourself.
Affect their bottom line.
Mm-mm.
So you know what I'm going to do, babe? I'm going to borrow your laptop to read the second
one. Nah, you want my laptop. Nah, you want my laptop.
You know,
say
it's
please.
Just,
say please.
Please.
Let me touch your butt. Come on, let me touch your
come
butt.
Come on, stop reaching over the chair, bro.
Let me touch your butt. You're not getting my laptop.
I can't get up.
You're not going to let me touch your butt?
Come on, reach over and grab it. There you go. Let me help you out there. There you go. All right. We good?
Yeah.
We good.
I got to grab the booty.
Make sure my laptop dies more often, y'all.
Oh, don't play. Hopping don't play
feels.
With me. Don't play.
Feels on the podcast. All right. So here's the second one. Hey, first off, want to say I love you guys and always appreciate how transparent you are with each other and your listeners. You're welcome. Love you back. I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years. We both graduated college last year, and now we're both working full-time jobs and back at home living with our parents to save money. We've been talking about the future of our relationship, specifically moving in together and eventually getting married. However, it seems like it's been hard to get on the same page. I realize that I often feel that when I try to talk to him about giving more to the relationship and committing to future plans together, he reacts like I'm threatening his sense of self and his independence. It's very frustrating, although I don't doubt that he cares about me. It feels like he's not 100% committed to the longevity of our relationship. This resulted in me building up a wall and not trusting his commitment, causing a lot of arguments and distance. Am I wrong for questioning his intentions? How can I know if we can rebuild trust or if he's just the type of person that values independence over partnership? Is this just a post-grad phase that all couples go through? Thanks for any insight. Interesting. Good question she built up here. So boyfriend for 4 years, they were in college together, graduated, full-time jobs, living at home with their family.
Building.
So it could be a couple of things. It could be that he is in that building phase where he kind of feels like, okay, if I'm going to seriously think about committing to this woman in real life, because I think college gives us this like perfect little
mm-hmm.
like world of,
mm-hmm.
it not being practical because we are living without real bills, you know, we're just kind of like, we talked about our college experience
it's
a lot.
Utopia.
It's a utopia. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. It's just a utopia of like the perfect environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that now he's realizing that, okay, college is over. This is real world. Now I'm trying to build and I want to focus on that. DeVal doesn't seem to think so based on his face.
No. I just,
or is it that you think that he's just getting a taste of now the real world and maybe afraid of the commitment phase?
To be honest, I don't know what it is. I just feel like, and we're going to do a whole podcast about this, there's a different responsibility when it comes to a man trying to plan for the future than a woman. Mm-hmm. A huge responsibility. Like, for example, right, in this day and age, if I'm going to propose, I have to save money for a ring. I have to save money to propose the right way these days, which is true. I got to get a videographer, a photographer, take her to a restaurant, invite all her people, and do a whole big thing.
Right.
Or else she's not going to feel like it's good enough, right? Mm-hmm. Women prepare for marriage by doing what? Waiting. That's why they seem so impatient.
Right.
Because it's like, I'm just waiting for him to figure it out. I'm waiting for him to figure it out. Well, niggas got to make money to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
For example, we know someone who was looking to get married, right? First thing is ring, right? Said person said they're looking for a certain amount of carats.
Mm-hmm.
Certain amount of carats cost tens of thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
right? Tens of thousands of dollars, right? For a lot of people, those tens of thousands of dollars may be half or more than their salary for a year,
ooh.
Right? Plus, this person wants everything when it comes to the proposal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Which costs more than tens of thousands of dollars. So the women sit back and do what while the man is planning all of this?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, realistically, I got to ask you a question. When you were planning on getting married,
mm-hmm.
right? What were you thinking of? How were you preparing to be a wife? And how were you preparing for the proposal?
Oh, I've been told y'all. I was preparing. I was getting my bikini wax. I was getting my nails done. no, seriously, there wasn't a lot of preparation that went into me preparing to be a wife per se. Like, there weren't conversations right. that were had
right.
Or any of that. So right. it really is kind of like a sitting back and waiting game that happens with this whole like proposal thing. So yeah, his mind might kind of be a little flustered now. He's like, now we're out of this utopia.
Yes.
Now we're in the real world. And this is getting really real, really fast.
Because this is what happens. I got to spend all this money to do all of this, but then we also have to get married.
And we still have to
and
live.
And we have to plan a wedding and we have to live. Mm-hmm. I've said this before, right? Mm-hmm. As a man, I felt a responsibility that if I'm going to ask you to be my wife, I have to be prepared to handle all of the responsibilities that come with having a wife.
Right.
You didn't think like that.
Right.
You never thought like, okay, let me put this amount of money aside. Let me prepare. It was just, I can't wait to get engaged and then get married. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even think about how much a wedding would cost.
Right.
I thought about all of this.
Right.
I thought about where we were going to live.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about once you get pregnant, if you can't work, how am I going to handle all of the financial responsibilities?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for women sometimes when you're sitting back and waiting for him to just ask,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot that he has to go through
right.
before he even gets to that point. And
right.
even if he's at that point, he still has to wait till financially he's at a point to execute those plans,
right?
Because y'all just graduated, so I guarantee you.
There's,
let's say,
probably, do they even have secure jobs yet? I don't know if she mentioned
work,
that they both work,
but they're
okay.
both staying at home to save money,
right?
So my thing is, they just both graduated.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're both just graduating, undergrad or grad school? Did she didn't say?
I think it was undergrad.
So let's say they both graduate yeah. undergrad, right? Mm-hmm. Most people this day and age who graduate undergrad make between $45,000 and $60,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
On the high end.
On the high end.
Right?
That's crazy, yeah.
So let's just think about that. He's making $45,000 to $60,000 a year. He has to get taxed
mm-hmm.
on that, right? So he mm-hmm. gets taxed on it. Say it's the 60. Let's give him the 60. He's going to have to pay at least 33%
right.
of that money to the government. So now he's making $40,000 a year,
mm.
right? And this is first year upon graduation. Most of these women want the diamonds
yeah.
that they see on Instagram, right? They want what, 2-3 carats,
yeah.
right? I know for a fact, because I just upgraded your ring, that with each carat is at least $10,000
mm-hmm.
on the low end.
Mm.
So you want 3 carats, that's $30,000, right? Plus the band,
yep.
right? Plus the engagement party,
right?
Plus the engagement itself is another, what, $10,000, maybe $15,000. So
in this
his
day and age,
whole
yeah.
year salary, $40,000, he's going to spend more than that proposing to you.
Mm-hmm.
He has to save that money first.
And still live.
And still live, which means he still has to live in today's day. So if he's making $4,000 a year, $40,000 a year, mm-hmm. that's at least what I'd say about $3,500 a month.
Mm-hmm. Like a human calculator.
Because for years I've been doing this in my head. But yes. You figure if he's saving $3,500, if he's making $3,500 a month after taxes, he's mm-hmm. still got to eat, still got to live, mm-hmm. probably has a car, probably drop some money to his parents for staying there for free. If his parents say no, forget it. He'll probably be able to save out of that $3,500. If he lives frugally, probably able to save $1,500. So now $1,500 times 12 is what, $18,000, which means he's gonna have to save for 2 to 3 years,
right? Depending on their level of most what of the time, to do.
Women is like, oh, I'm waiting 2 or 3 years for, right? But that's really what.
So it seems like, yeah, that, I mean, there may just be a lot of things going in his about. Head.
And when we hear women talk about, like, it doesn't seem like he's serious,
right?
He may be serious and trying to throw you off so that he can surprise you. Because remember, we had friends uh-huh. who her girls were saying, if he don't propose to you by Thanksgiving or by New Year's, then you need to just move on because he's not ready. The whole time, his plan was to propose to her and surprise her mm-hmm. in February. Mm-hmm. And then she came through New Year's. He was taking her to, mm-hmm. We told this story. He was taking her to events and stuff on New Year's. And the whole time she was getting dressed up and all her girls like, this is it, girl, this is it. And every time it wasn't it, she got disappointed
right.
and ultimately gave him an ultimatum in January. Like, if you're not serious about this, then meanwhile, this dude had a whole ring and whole thing set up mm-hmm. for February. It's like, damn. Like,
right. Whole foot in your mouth.
Yeah, now you got a whole foot in your mouth. Your friend sitting back there like, I told you, you should have right. just waited.
Right.
I'd just be patient, baby.
I guess she can also look at it as not having the conversation as a form of pressure, but as a form of expectations or what she's looking for as things progress, right? Because we had this clip yes. that went viral when we talked about expectation versus pressure.
Yes.
So I think that if she's just having the conversation with him, not framing it where he feels pressured, but just saying, hey, I'm just wondering, like, what's the time frame? Because every couple talks about time frame, though. No, don't, like, we have like a 5-year plan. We have a 10-year plan for the future.
No, they so absolutely if
maybe
absolutely
she
do.
Just wants some clarity on where his head is with things.
But the game plan often puts pressure because the woman is saying, I want it in this time. He's the one that's responsible to provide it in that time. Regardless of how you code it, it's mm-hmm. still pressure to provide the things you want. I'm required to provide the things you want in your time.
So maybe it's not a conversation about her time. It's that, what do you think? Or what are you coming? I think that's what she's trying to say. No. She's coming from a place of,
yeah.
what are you
I'm
thinking,
answering
babe?
What you just said, though, because mm-hmm. you just said, is it wrong for her to say what she wants and mm-hmm. needs in her time? And I said, no, it's not wrong. You are entitled to say what you want and need. But you can't say, I just told you what I want and need. Don't feel no pressure.
Right.
That's why people oftentimes when they say, you know, like, for example, we had for Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. we had friends who Smitty was just like, yo, if y'all can figure out something on Valentine's Day, let me know. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, it's no pressure. Mm-hmm. You got to say no pressure because once you tell somebody what you're looking for and in a certain right. time frame, mm-hmm. now it's pressure on them to provide that. Mm. The thing is, women don't like to hear that they put pressure on men when they tell them a time frame. Mm-hmm. But you're entitled to tell me your time frame.
Right.
But I'm going to feel it's pressure. Clarity. If I have to provide that in that time frame.
If you care to also. If I care to, he may be like, well, you know, you can have all the time frames you want. But what we're not doing is that. So
right.
that's also possible. Well, good luck to you, sis. You know, continue to have the conversations. Continue, if you guys yes. are serious about each other, that's one thing that Val and I always encourage. Even though you may not see eye to eye on the process, at least having the conversations, hopefully we'll get some clarity someday.
That's the only answer.
Yeah.
Openly having the conversation mm-hmm. and don't be upset
right.
or don't expect other people to understand how your conversation is going to go. Mm-hmm. Because Kadeen and I had the conversation out loud and everybody else was upset, mm-hmm. but she and I wasn't.
Right.
And it worked out perfectly for us.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all have the conversation and don't care how everyone else takes it. Mm-hmm. Continue to have the conversation and love on each other.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. Keep sending in these listener letters because we love to have them. We're actually going to have a listener letter episode coming up. Maybe one or two this season because, you know, sometimes y'all have some really good questions and stories for us. So email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's right. That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
All right. Moment of truth time. We're talking survivor's remorse. Going back to the top of the show, everything we spoke about, ascension, bringing everybody with you, who can come, who can't. And feeling bad about that. My moment of truth, I should say, is just be careful with your words and your approach when it comes to people around you who are trying to make their hopes and dreams come true.
Oh, you took mine. That's a good one. Go ahead.
There's just nothing that can be more disappointing or more hurtful than the backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
And if you're going to support someone, support them wholeheartedly. Support them because you want to genuinely support them and their path, not because of what you may potentially gain from it. And just know that if you want to ascend with somebody, you have to put the work in as well too. And it can be two completely different dreams, two completely different goals, two completely different paths.
You speaking right now.
But there's nothing sweeter than when a group of friends or a group of acquaintances or a group of family members are all ascending in their own fields. Woo! And they can do it collectively and celebrate together. Like,
woo!
How beautiful is that?
You took my goddamn moment of truth.
All right, so we done then. That all was, right, if you want to be featured.
Only thing I'm going to add is,
okay,
if you are the person that's ascending, don't let your pocketbook be your way of getting rid of guilt. Because that runs out. You cannot pay people to be happy for you.
No.
And you cannot pay your way out of dealing with the trauma for feeling guilty for being successful.
Oh, yeah.
You can't. So between Kadeem's moment of truth, for the people around, for the person who is ascending, know that words matter.
That's a fact.
And know that you have to work on healing yourself first before you can be available to anybody else.
Dead ass then. All right. Be sure to find us on social media, y'all, at Dead Ass the Podcast. And you can find me on Instagram and all the good stuff at Kadeem I Am.
And I am Deval. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Dead ass, y'all.
Dead ass.
We'll see you next time.
Dead Ass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Dead Ass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.